Hello and welcome to another episode of This Conversation Rocks. Tonight is the earthquake episode. And this is Diane calling in from Willow, Alaska.
This is Todd from Los Angeles.
And you could probably hear my dogs howling in the background because for some reason they decided they needed to howl.
Boy, I can hear them howling in the background.
So this episode is the Zemletrasenie episode, which is Russian for earthquake. It also means shock and commotion. And I kind of thought it was appropriate because we had a big earthquake a couple of weeks ago. And also because Iowa was a bit of an earthquake.
Iowa was a bit of an earthquake. Yeah, we'll talk about that. I'm not sure that it was a huge earthquake or anything. I mean, yeah, so my thought was that the outcome in Iowa wasn't that big a earthquake, but I suppose it's where you were standing. If you were standing in Hillary's shoes, that might have hurt some.
Well, yeah, and I think that we're going to talk about it. So just so people are up to speed with us, we're going to talk about the significance or not of Iowa. We're going to call New Hampshire, which is tomorrow, right?
Well, by the time you've heard it, by the time you hear this...
It'll be a week out.
Bernie will have already won. So.
And then we're going to finish up by talking about Bernie. It's the almost all Bernie episode.
Absolutely. So let's not give too much time to the clown car
okay. In
Iowa. As everybody knows, Ted Cruz came out on top, right?
Well,
yeah.
So...
It was a week ago. I've forgotten already.
I think we do need to talk a little bit about the clown car. So here's the thing. You know, Cruz came out on top. Trump came out second. Rubio, we called it, finished third, but he's already managing his third up to first place.
Right. Only in a Republican primary can come in third be a victory.
Let's
deal with the bottom feeders real quick and get these guys off of it, right?
Well, so here's the bottom feeder I want to bring up first, because I think it has to do with Ted Cruz. Ben Carson.
Also, this week, big news story about where he gets his laundry from.
So here's the text of the email that was sent out by the Ben Carson campaign. Let me pull that up. So he sent an email out to his campaign supporters in Iowa in advance of the caucus, and it said this. Breaking news. The press is reporting that Dr. Ben Carson is taking time off from the campaign trail after Iowa and making a big announcement next week. Please inform any Carson caucus goers of this news and urge them to caucus for Cruz. Okay, so the... I just heard the X-Files in the background.
I just have it on now. We're going to talk about Ben. We're going to need this.
So here's the question I have for you. What did Cruz cheat? Was this within the acceptable realm of Lee Atwater dirty tricks? You know, he pretty much implied that the big announcement was going to be that he was bailing out of the race.
Sure, but here's the thing. If you're a Carson supporter and you're stupid enough to get your news from Ted Cruz, well, it explains why you're a Carson supporter.
Okay, there is that. That's fair.
You know, is this dirty tricks? Yes. Was this at the level of Ted Cruz's chief guys? Probably not. You know, there was a lot of dirty tricks, but there's always a lot of dirty tricks in these things. It is that old adage that people who like sausage or the law should never see either one of them getting made.
Oh my god, I've never heard that, but that is perfect. Oh.
Yeah, so maybe this is the all sausage grinder ish episode. I don't know. But you know, yeah, it was a dirty trick, but there were lots of, you know, accusations and dirty tricks, but honestly, if you were there to support a specific candidate, the ground game should be wired up enough that you are getting your news from the people above you in the campaign. You know, and if you are looking at other people's news feeds, you know, or talking to other people and going, oh, yeah, so the Cruz campaign is saying that our guy's dropping out. wow, maybe we should go ahead and just vote for somebody else. What the f? You didn't get good guys, Ben. But how could you?
Well, so the whole thing is just kind of crazy in keeping with the whole thing, right? So, Donald Trump, of course, jumped on it and now is having a hissy fit and calling for new caucuses and recount and blah, 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 blah. Which, I mean, we can get into Trump in just a minute here. What do you want to say about the other bottom feeders?
Well, with Carson...
I didn't want to lose the train of feeding off of the bottom, so...
No, so the my favorite one is Carly Fiorina, who left the state early to avoid a big storm and apparently not deal with the fact that...
That she had, 0%?
1.9%.
Okay. I didn't look at the numbers,
she tweeted she tweeted it out, at 11:30 that she was getting on a plane, right? So, of course, this being the age of the internet, somebody was more than willing to go post the Doppler pictures of Des Moines at that moment. Completely clear.
An hour later,
when it was supposed to be the storm that was going to ground planes and everything, still clear.
So she did not make the debate, by the way. The debate that just happened, she didn't make the cut.
She hasn't withdrawn yet, but she's done.
Yeah.
Santorum did withdraw, finally.
He did, as did Mike Huckabee.
And Huckabee did. But both of, they're 1.2 and 1.2.2. Votes are going to go to, probably going to go to Ted Cruz.
Yeah, considering that he got the evangelical vote, got the evangelical vote, I agree with you. So Trump, he tweets out this whole thing all along about hating losers and not wanting to be a loser, and he was
turns
a loser.
Out he's a loser. Turns out we already knew.
and social media has jumped on that, so that's been kind of an interesting spin. Especially with him going into New Hampshire still in the lead.
Well, he's going to win New Hampshire. That won't be a problem for him.
I agree with you. Not that we're jumping ahead or anything.
But it all goes together. He's got nothing to worry about yet. He'll win New Hampshire.
And no so, problem. You know, my whole thing was, before we get into the Democrats, and the momentum on the right side goes, or on the right side, that sounds wrong, on the Republican side goes to who?
Nobody.
Right. I mean...
Why? Because Iowa doesn't matter.
But then if you're a Democrat, Iowa matters intensely.
Right, but it's completely different types of races, right?
Right.
Iowa doesn't matter to the Republicans because in no way is representative of the rest of the United States, large evangelical right-wing base, going to vote for Ted Cruz. No surprise, right? Would have been surprising if Donald had won,
Right. I've read and heard is that he also had no ground game in Iowa.
Apparently none of them did.
Yeah. Maybe Rubio.
no, even Rubio. Apparently they had, these guys had no more than five offices open in Iowa, whereas Bernie and Hillary both had 20, 25 offices open.
Right. That's crazy. But, we were talking about last week, which people will have hopefully heard by the time they listen to this, that it definitely was not predictive in the last two Republican caucuses in terms of who won Iowa and who was going to go on to be successful.
Exactly. And it means nothing this time around as well. The smart money, in my opinion, on the Republican Party is going to be on Rubio. After New Hampshire... By the end of the month, right, Bush and the rest of the guys have dropped out, right? And everybody's going to get behind Rubio.
Oh, God. Okay, so speaking of bottom feeders, and I know this is old news, but it still kills me. Jeb Bush going, please clap. You caught that, right?
No, but you know what? I got to be honest. The amount of energy I'm spending on Jeb Bush is... zero.
No, this is actually, it's worth a moment of pity and amusement. So he was giving a speech in New Hampshire, and he was going on and on about how he wasn't going to be the blusterer in chief, and he wasn't going to be divisive, and blah, blah, blah. And, just kind of lays out all of this middle of the road stuff, and nobody
cares.
Says a word, nobody moves, nobody does anything, and then he looks at the audience and says, please clap.
Right.
I mean, that's terrible. Maybe we should call this the please clap episode.
I don't know. Please give me the clap. No, wait a second.
All right, so any other bottom feeders we need to address on the Republican side of the aisle?
No, other than why Kasich is still in this thing, I have no idea.
I think we're going to talk about him when we get to Act 2. I know I'm going to talk about him when we get to Act 2.
You're going to talk about Kasich during the Bernie part?
No, Bernie's Act 3. Act okay. 2 is Act 2 is predicting New Hampshire.
Oh, okay. Well, then, great.
So let's go a little bit to the Dems in Iowa, and then let's go ahead and go on to Act 2.
Okay. So, not a real surprise to a lot of people, but probably really a kick in the gut to the Clinton campaign. Bernie basically fought her to a draw.
They are certainly acting scared.
Well, they have to ask themselves how, after all the lessons they learned 8 years ago and all the money they invested in Iowa and the ground game that they had in place, how did this guy...
A Jewish socialist who's 74, I think I heard today he's going to be 75 on Election Day or maybe Inauguration Day.
Hey, as long as he doesn't have Alzheimer's, we're good.
No, I think he's sharp as a tack.
Yeah. Because age, we've already proven that age isn't a problem for Americans.
Well, so here's the thing, right? You know, people were jumping. There are some people who are jumping on Bernie Sanders because of his age. But these are the same people who were advocating for Joe Biden to come into the race. And Biden is only a year younger than Bernie Sanders.
My father, his theory of the week, because he's a big Biden guy, is that it'll come down to the convention and then it'll be unable to elect a candidate at the convention, and Biden will end up becoming the nominee.
Okay, so I don't loathe Joe Biden, but I disagree with your dad.
I completely disagree with my dad on that, but it was a fun theory.
So I just want to say the percentages really quickly for Iowa. So Hillary, and this is updated as of yesterday from the Democratic Party, Hillary had 49.84% of the vote.
Including six coin tosses.
Right. Bernie had 49.59% of the vote, and then O'Malley had 0.0167. That wasn't his percentage. That was actually the number of state delegate equivalents that he got. So Hillary is going to get something like 702 state delegate equivalents, and Bernie's going to get like 697.
Yeah.
So... You know, this guy who people didn't know who he was 6 months ago, now he's fought Clinton to truly a tie in Iowa, which I think, you know, as a Bernie supporter and as someone who's watching this race pretty closely, is very significant.
I agree with you. I think it's interesting because it makes him viable. Really does make him viable.
It takes away the whole inevitability claim again. This is the second time you are right that this has happened to Hillary Clinton.
Yep. I also predict that she'll have a new campaign manager by the end of this week.
I did see a news article today that said they're talking about a shakeup in terms of their staffing. So your prediction, I think, is accurate.
I'm pretty sure she can get some guys from Ben Carson if she wants.
Yeah, and they've proven that they have what it takes. Not.
Absolutely. If your purpose in life is to confuse the shit out of the rest of us, Ben Carson is your guy.
We have to post a clip of him entering or maybe not entering into the most recent debate. That was pretty cool.
I thought I got that up.
Oh, maybe you did. I've watched it in a couple of different places, so I'll have to go back and look at our website or at our Facebook page. Okay,
I've got a link to it on there, yeah.
So Iowa, I want to say a couple more things because I'm really steamed about this. So after Iowa, we have Gloria Steinem who goes on Bill Maher.
And embarrasses herself.
And says that young women are supporting Bernie Sanders because that's where the boys are.
Yep.
He won the youth vote 84% to 14%, him over Clinton. And Gloria Steinem, a feminist icon, says that women are voting for Bernie because that's where the boys are. I was so, as a woman, I was mortally offended. I'm still pissed. And then you know what I'm going to bring up next.
No, what are you going to bring up next?
I can't believe you don't know what I'm going to bring up next. How about Madeleine Albright and her "There is a special place in hell for women who don't support other women"?
Oh, well, all I can say is that I didn't catch that one.
Well, I'm here to tell you that hell is going to be very lovely because I'm ha going to have some excellent female company.
Starting with Susan Sarandon.
That's right. No, so I'm really ticked about this feminist narrative. Older feminists who are saying, "Well, if you're not a good feminist, or if you don't support Hillary, you're not a good feminist."
Let's be clear. Establishment feminists.
I think that's a better way to say it, because I've said all along, and I'm going to say it again, and this is ripping off Susan Sarandon. I don't vote with my vagina. And yes, I do want to see a woman president. I'd love to see a woman president in my lifetime, but if I have the choice between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, I'm voting for Bernie.
If you have a chance between somebody different.
And the same
With
old
a track,
thing.
yeah, and the same old thing. And people with a track record of something different and the same old thing.
Yep. And
Yeah,
the Oh, go
there's
ahead.
no contest here. And certainly Bernie is no Republican
He's not
on
exactly a
women's
misogynist.
on women's issues, right? You know,
Yeah.
he actually likes women,
Yeah, he actually
he,
respects women.
and we're gonna talk about that in part three, but the thing is that what does Hillary's position on everything just because she's a woman matter, right? And the answer is not at all.
Exactly, because you know what? I don't vote for male candidates because they have penises. I don't.
No, because that is the most absurd statement ever.
Well, exactly.
Because
And
you know,
so
I vote. I'm voting for this guy because of what? 6 inches of blue steel? Come on.
And so there you go. I mean, if you take that and you look at the equivalent statement, "I'm voting for Hillary because she has a vagina and so do I," that's the most ridiculous thing ever.
Truly,
And
truly, and but it's a narrative. Again, it's a narrative from establishment, right?
right.
Where the establishment's like, we have a chance to get one of our own. Why wouldn't we be getting one of our own? Because one of your own hasn't made the cut, you
Well,
know?
and the other thing that
Gloria fucking Steinem should run for president. She might do better than Hillary.
You know what? Not after her appearance on Mar.
Well, okay, but you know,
Maybe before.
right. Madeleine Albright, hey, if you want to be president. Well, wait a second. She may not actually be a natural born citizen, right?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
No, I don't think she is. If she is, and I have it wrong, I am sorry, but no, I do believe that she's first generation.
But the other thing that I will say is that I have not cut young feminists any kind of slack. I mean, we've talked about it before, and I really feel like the younger generation has not held up their end of the bargain. They have not protected the rights that people like Gloria Steinem fought for. But when Gloria goes and betrays us publicly by saying something like that, fuck her.
More importantly, fuck the non-apology thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was totally a non-apology.
You know, if
Ugh.
you're gonna if you done fucked up, come out and say, you know what, I done fucked up. Don't come out and say, I'm sorry if you were upset by what I said. Fuck you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Fuck you.
Exactly. So maybe Gloria belongs in Fuck That Guy, although there are seriously some people who are contending for it this week.
Riffra.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so I think I'm done ranting about Iowa. I don't know, are you done with Iowa?
I was done with Iowa before it started. And ultimately, why? Because Iowa is nothing.
Unless you're Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, then it hurt. It's the problem with the problem with Iowa is that if you're the front runner, nothing good can come from it. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, I'm really thinking about it, and I'm thinking about when Barack Obama wiped her out in 2008, you know?
She was presumptive and
Yep.
everything, and all of a sudden he had a ground game that just kicked her ass.
Yep.
And she's gonna get beat. Well, we're moving to New Hampshire.
Okay, New Hampshire.
She's going to get beat in New Hampshire. That's not a surprise to anybody. The question really is just the margin. Now,
So I looked at a poll yesterday and it said Bernie 58, Hillary 35, plus or minus 4.9.
say that again.
So
58 to 35, right?
Hillary fi or Bernie 58%, excuse me.
It's a
Hillary
23.
35%, plus
It's
or
a 20.
minus 4.9.
Which is really a bad number, but arguably that's a 23-point difference there. That's a landslide.
And these are even tighter odds than they were before Iowa. So it's tightened up a little bit, but he's still got a very big lead.
Well, hang on. Let's get Nate. Let's get the only opinion that really matters.
I
Nate Silver at 538.
don't know. I can't remember who I was listening to. I think it might have been the guys at Political Gab Fest, but they were saying they don't necessarily agree with Nate Silver this year.
How can you not agree with Nate?
That's
That's like un-American.
heresy, right?
See, yeah, so it's interesting, right? Actually, they've got wow, they've got they've got South Carolina firmly in Hillary's hands.
Well, and actually, I looked ahead to South Carolina and I couldn't tell. I was on a website called Real Clear Politics and I couldn't tell if these were polls that were done before or after Iowa, but it basically had Clinton at 30 and, or I'm sorry, Clinton at 60% and Sanders at 30%. So they too put South Carolina pretty firmly in Hillary's hands. But here's the thing.
It'll
Is
change.
New Hampshire important?
Well, yes and no, just like all of it, right? We want it to be important because we want Bernie to win this thing, but it will change it though, right?
So there are people who are saying that, so this is the narrative from the mainstream media who has been, I'm sorry, conspiracy, you can play the X-Files theme. They've been against Bernie Sanders' candidacy from the beginning. And the narrative from the mainstream media is that, well, New Hampshire, it's a neighboring state to Vermont, and they're familiar with Bernie, so they're going to vote for Bernie. So that's the reason he's going to win New Hampshire.
Right.
So, but my question is, if he wins, is that another nail in Hillary Clinton's coffin?
No. Because he's supposed to win this one, and everybody is giving her this one, giving her a pass on this one. What it takes is upsetting her down the road. South Carolina, Nevada, projecting that she's got a 50% chance of winning it. And interestingly enough, Sanders only has a 28% chance, so that's kind of weird how that works,
That's
but
pretty weird. I'm wondering, I mean, O'Malley's out. That's the other thing that we forgot to mention is that O'Malley's out. So
oh well, yeah.
I think it's important though to also look at national polls, right? So
Well, in theory, that's what 538's doing, right?
I can't honestly tell you what poll this is. I'm sorry, I didn't write the source down, but nationally they are now in a dead heat.
Again, depending on what you look at, yeah.
So in January, and again, this is from all from the same page, and I wish I had written the source down. January, it was Clinton 48%, Sanders 30%. Now it's Clinton 44%, Sanders 43%. And
Yeah, but
his
again,
name recognition has gone way up.
right, but I mean, we're not there by a long shot because I'm actually looking at a whole list of polls running from January 21st through February 4th,
The dogs don't
right?
like what you're saying.
I know. I don't like what I'm saying either. But when you look at all these, right, the numbers aren't as clear, aren't as close as there's only one that's, and I think this is the one that's been getting a lot of attention lately, is the Quinnipiac
That's it.
University.
Yep, that's the poll I was thinking of. Thank
44,
you.
42. But the thing is we've got several polls that show Clinton at 50 or above. We got one at 62%, which is a way big outlier as well. The problem is that the truth is the Quinnipiac poll is an outlier. it doesn't fall in the bell curve. We're not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like hearing that, but I also am realistic in that I know it's an uphill slog for Sanders. And so at this point, it's everything that goes his way is going to count.
Right.
Everything that goes his way is going to push those margins a little differently. And the same for Clinton. I mean, everything that falls to her is going to push those margins differently.
So, yeah, we're going to call it for Bernie. We're going to call it for Donald.
Yeah, I think that's right. Although, I think there is a possibility that John Kasich could be a dark horse. Because there are a lot of people, I was listening to interviews yesterday, who kind of have walked out of Trump rallies going, I'm not so crazy about him after all. And so John Kasich, I mean, he's still low. He only broke 11%. But the numbers in, and this is a CNN poll from the 6th, the numbers in Iowa, or sorry, not Iowa, New Hampshire are Cruz 14%, Rubio 16%, Trump 33%, so that's huge. But Kasich is now up to 11%, and a lot of people are talking about him.
Okay, but I will say that that's, again, very, very in line with the Republican narrative, the actual narrative when you look back at the last election cycle, right?
Because they are desperate to have a mainstream candidate.
Well, yeah, but more, and the other thing is that everybody gets to be on top at one point or another in the Republican race.
Except Carly.
Well, what I never understood about Carly is how she didn't seem to get the fact that they were just tolerating her existence. That it made them look good by having a woman on the podium.
Yeah.
Because when you listen to these guys, there's no way that they would possibly respect her.
Do you think that's true? And I absolutely think you're right. I mean, they would not respect her because she's female, obviously. But do you also think it's true that maybe they were just tolerating Huckabee and Santorum and some of the people who were bottom feeders as well?
No, those guys are part of the old boys club, right? And the thing is all these old boys believe the same thing.
Yeah.
You know.
So, and I mean, this goes back to something that I've asked over and over again, and I'm sure I'm going to piss off, like, the one Republican woman who actually might be listening to this, but I just don't understand.
My mom does not listen to this.
I just don't understand how a woman can vote for a Republican. I mean, they've proven again and again and again that they have no interest in equality.
Yeah, but they would say that they're not voting with their vagina either. You know?
That's true. That's very true.
They would say that these guys are more, you know, in line with whatever. And the other thing is that, I mean, let's get down to it, right? There's an awful lot of women in this country who vote for people like Ted Cruz.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Unfortunately, there's an awful lot of women in this country who apparently believe that they are supposed to be barefoot and pregnant and just, you know, chained to the stove.
I'm surprised that they exercise their right to vote, actually. So I wrote a little bit of stuff down about Kasich. I don't know if you want to talk about it or not.
Well, what the hell? If Kasich is still in it after New Hampshire, let's do a Kasich episode.
Okay, I'll save it for that episode then.
And if he's not in it, let's do a Kasich episode and just rub their nose in what they could have had.
Because he's like the only person who's even close to a moderate, and he's not a moderate in this race.
Well, isn't that the problem? There are no moderates on that?
That I absolutely think so, although I'm sure that there are people who would argue that there are no moderates on the Democratic side either.
Clinton's about as moderate as it gets.
I find it very interesting that she fought so vehemently against Barack Obama and she is now promising a third term.
Yeah, well, see, it's one of those things that's really interesting. And it's, you know, when you are running against an incumbent party, you can talk about how great you are, how bad they are, how bad your competition on your side is, all of that stuff, right? But when you got to run following your own party, you can't possibly come out and say that everything that Obama has done for the last 8 years was a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree. It's just, I don't know if you watched the debate last weekend, but she... people said it really wrapped herself in the cloak of Obama's presidency.
Mm-hmm. No surprise.
Yeah. I shouldn't be surprised.
You should stop listening to these debates. You'll be a happier person.
I know. I know. I'm trying. I don't watch them in real time, generally speaking.
Yeah.
I do kind of listen to some of the stuff that handicaps it afterwards, like the Young Turks and Rachel Maddow and that kind of stuff. And even that ticks me off. So
this is the thing, is that this stuff just raises your blood pressure.
You're right. I bet you if you took my blood pressure right now, it would not be pretty.
No, it's absolutely true. And this is why I listen to jazz in the car. Because listening to the news makes me want to have a stroke.
Oh, that is so awful. It's so funny, but it's so awful.
It's true, because, you know, we should not lie to ourselves, right? 2 hours of NPR makes us as crazy as 2 hours of Fox News makes them crazy.
I'm really pretty much at the point where any news that I listen to pisses me off. You're absolutely right. It doesn't matter who it comes from.
Yeah, and it's hard, right? You know, because you got to get the news. You got to know what's going on.
Yeah.
We have to look like we're edumacated, you know, if we're going to keep doing this podcast. Especially if we're going to convince somebody to pick us up.
We're trying, man. We're trying.
Please, 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 sir.
We'll hold that bomb for a little bit longer, shall we? Since we're not really sure where it's going.
We'll cut the swearing down, we promise.
Oh, I don't think that's going to be an issue, considering one of the other podcasts that I know is on that particular network.
All right, well, then in that case. But, okay, let's get out of this, and let's get onto something positive.
All right, so I call this segment 3, Help Us, Bernie, You're Our Only Hope.
Really? Is that what you're really calling?
That's really what I called it. I was pretty tired last night when I was taking notes.
Outstanding. So, gonna cheat a little. PBS is good. PBS.org has got a great thing on where Bernie stands on 10 points. And we've looked over these 10 points, and we think we want to bring you these 10 points, more or less.
And it was originally written, I just want to say, in April of 2015. But it was updated with 2016 information, so it is current.
So, number 10.
So number campaign
finance.
We might... Oh, okay, I was going to say, we might be looking at different things, but what you're looking at, number 10, I'm looking at as number 1. So, we'll meet in the middle.
Right, okay.
So, campaign finance. He wants to overturn Citizens United, which I think we can both get behind.
Yep.
He is the only candidate who does not have a super PAC, and that's candidate from either side of the fence. He wants to limit corporations and special interests in terms of what they can donate, and he is requiring disclosure of any spending greater than or equal to $10,000 in an election-related campaign. So what he's really talking about is transparency in election financing.
Right, so you can see who's paying for whom.
Like, so people don't get to make money writing books called Dark Money about the Koch brothers or Koch brothers or whoever the fuck they are.
Koch brothers.
They're the Koch brothers. You're right, they're the Koch brothers, but that sounded better. I think I may have just peed myself a little.
Number 9, climate change.
Sorry.
And Bernie believes that companies should be charged for carbon emissions. Sanders argues that shifting global temperatures are a significant threat and caused by human activity. He has sponsored a bill which would charge companies for their carbon emissions and would use some of the money to boost renewable energy.
That's one of the things that I really like, is that he wants to take the money from essentially a carbon tax and use it to fund other sources of energy. So he wants to get us off the carbon.
Right, which is the only sane thing. Look, it's the only sane thing.
Well, you know, that means that he's actually paying attention to science. And I know that that's a foreign word on the other side of the aisle, but... Yeah, science.
Well, it was Rubio, right? When we were looking at Rubio, and he's like, climate change is real, but not caused by humans.
Right. So he's at least willing to admit that it's real, but you're right, not caused by humans.
Yeah. I don't know what they believe it's caused by, you know. All right.
Okay, so Bernie, 7, education.
8.
No, you're right, yeah. It is 8. Dear God, 8. I can't even count. Okay, so he wants free universal preschool, and he is, contrary to what the other side is trying to say, he's saying that he wants free tuition at public colleges and universities. So he's not talking about giving somebody a free ride to Harvard, but he's talking about making public schools accessible to everyone.
It costs $1 for education, it costs $9 for incarceration.
Yeah, good point.
Let's do the math here, people.
Well, and so here's the thing. He has a plan to pay for it. He's talking about raising taxes on the wealthy and raising taxes on Wall Street. And, you know, I actually called this little section in my notebook, this is also known as the reason I vote for school bonds, even